All right, good to have everyone back with us as we get ready for baseball today. I know it's early, but we've got a good show for you, a lot to talk about. The Giants win yesterday, in case you missed it, 6-1 over the Chicago Cubs. It was a bullpen game, 9 innings, 2 hits for the bullpen, a run, a home run to Schwindel, 4 walks and 9 strikeouts, and the Giants got it done as they enter play today with Kevin Gausman against Zach Davies. That is the matchup at Wrigley Field today. Well, glad to have him with us. He's a former beat writer who covered the Giants for the Chronicle, among other teams in his career. I love talking ball with him, and that is at Hank Shulman on Twitter. Henry Shulman, good morning. How are you?
Oh, a little bleary-eyed, but I got the coffee going, so we're okay.
All right. The Giants in Wrigley. Henry, you must have been in Wrigley a million times watching games there. What was it like for you at Wrigley with the fans and everything else?
Well, I'll tell you what, my Wrigley moments were when when the place was empty. That was the only stadium that I ever went to, maybe excluding the old Yankee Stadium, where, I mean, each time I walked into Wrigley, you take an elevator all the way down the left field corner up to the top deck, and then you walk over to the press box, which is a higher deck. And that was the only place where I would just kind of sit down in a seat and look out over the entirety of Wrigley Field with the, all the apartment buildings on Waveland and Sheffield, just kind of look around and soak up the history. Wasn't so much, not so much the fans, although I did have to sit in among the fans. The way the press box does not have a direct way to get down onto the field. You really have to walk. I think they may have put in a new elevator, but up until this year, you had to really kind of walk down the concourse to get to the and the way they would let you get to the clubhouse was you would walk onto the field as soon as the game was over. So I would be sitting in the first couple of rows and, just watching the last few outs. And that's amazing because I think you're even closer to the field there, I think, than you are at Oracle. You could kind of, hear the whiz of the pitch going by. I think it was the only place I ever kind of rooted for the Giants because I hated hearing that victory song that they play, which is just awful. Go Cubs, go!
Well, you're not going to hear a lot of it now. They say they're not in a rebuild, but when you look at the lineup, there aren't many names that you know. No. But Chris Bryant of the Giants did come back to Wrigley today, and he got a very warm reception. The Cubs did a nice job. They gave him number 17 from the scoreboard. Metallic number 17, and also a copy of the World Series flag from 2016, I think it was 2016, that they won the World Series. So for Bryant, it was a good homecoming, and the fans were very appreciative of him.
Yeah, this being, somebody who follows the Giants, and all the listeners will understand this. Something happens. There's something special about any player who was part of a World Series run. And when you talk about winning the World Series after having not won it since, 1906 or 1908, whatever the year was, that's the kind of person who's going to be in the hearts of the fans forever. And the one thing I'm glad about is that there was no acrimony when he was traded. He understood what was going on. I think he wanted to go to a competitor. I'm not 100% sure whether to believe him that when he says the Giants were absolutely the one place he wanted to go. You never know if that's true or not when they say that after the fact. But, it just all dovetailed nicely. He's been in a bit of a slump lately. I don't know if it's because of the wrist that he has or a little injury or what, but he hasn't been the same as he was when he first came. And I'm sure it had to be an uplifting experience to go through that. I didn't see the tribute yesterday, but I did see the, I saw the ovation he got when he walked up in the first inning and batted there before he struck out. And, very emotional for him. And, good for him. I mean, he earned it after what he brought to the team in the city of Chicago.
Well, he said he wanted to go with a winner, and he's with a winner now. This ball club has won 5 straight. Henry, for the 7th time, I didn't realize that until I saw that today. They've won 5 straight 7 different times this year, and 7 of 8 now on the road. They're 46-27. What is your general take as we go through the season? Because we're now in the sprint to the finish. The marathon has sort of run its course a little bit. Now we're sprinting.
Yeah, I think my take is that there are 22 games left, and there are still people out there going, the Dodgers are going to come to their senses and win this thing. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, they are certainly capable of doing it, but, you know, they had a chance. The Cardinals, you know, they're not a great team right now. They're, you know, putatively in the race for the Central Division, but they're not playing great baseball. And the Dodgers had a chance to step on their throats and stay close to the Giants, and they can't hit. That's one of the big issues. They're not hitting right now. And with that lineup, sort of like the Yankees, you know. I mean, the Yankees have a lineup that it looks like they should score 8 runs a game, and they don't. And the Giants are, or the Dodgers are in the same boat. And one other thing that I find interesting, one of the reasons that the Phillies had for getting rid of Kapler, one of the things the fans didn't like was that his teams, both of his Philly teams, had good records and then quote unquote collapsed. And Kapler got a lot of blame for that. I mean, never mind that, you know, they didn't really have really good bullpens in either year and the team slumped. But I don't know if it's because he just has better personnel in San Francisco or whether it's because he's just a better manager in his third or his fourth year than he was in his first or his second. But he is making the right moves to get the Giants through these games. He and actually Zaidi combined, because a lot of the big decisions that are made are not just Kapler decisions. They're organizational decisions, even stuff that happens on the field, even down to when they're going to have bullpen games and which guys are going to come in after whom. And I mean, if they have some sort of collapse in the last 22 games, I don't think it's going to be because of any managerial decisions.
Well, I don't see it coming, and I agree with you on the Dodgers. When you look at that lineup, I mean, Muncy is slowed down a lot. Will Smith left about 20 people on base against the Giants. Betts really hasn't hit. Bellinger has fallen off the cliff. Pollock is out. The outfield the other day was McKinstry and Bellinger, and I was waiting for Gil McDougall to come out in the outfield with him. But the Dodgers are not hitting. There's no doubt about it. I agree with you 100%.
They do have a lot of Diamondbacks coming up. That's one thing. The Giants, I think, have one more series with Arizona. I think the Dodgers have two left with them. And then the Dodgers also have the Padres, you know, as you know, this weekend. And, you know, I mean, a series like that, it is a rivalry series in a way, and it can go either way. It's right now, you know, 22 games is still a lot when, you know, the lead is where it is right now. You'd rather be in the Giants' position than in the Dodgers' position, but for the Giants, they just have to keep winning series. I mean, they're not going to win every game, but they need to win series that they should win. And, you know, they have some tough series left. I actually circled the two series at Coors Field as potential tough series because of what it would do to the pitching, and also because the Rockies were playing just fantastic baseball at home, and then the Giants just went in there and destroyed them.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Tony La Russa said it years ago, and you know Tony is very, very important when he comes out with a quote. And he said, look, you show me a good bullpen, I'll show you a good manager. And everything you said about Gabe Kapler, he's got players that produce, and they execute. When he makes that move, they come in and they don't blow up. They don't walk people. They're still in way ahead and home runs given up and things like that. So for me, the bullpen is the issue because it's a world of bullpens now. And when you look at the Giants and the bullpen that they have, every game that they need the bullpen, they come through. And if he has to throw the bullpen as a starter, they come through. If he needs them at the end of the game, they come through. So they haven't faced any adversity yet, Henry. This is a team that's almost gone wire to wire.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the 5-game winning streaks. I don't think they have a 5-game losing streak. I could be wrong. People can check me on that. But, you know, the thing I would worry about is the overuse, the taxing of the bullpen. I mean, he's done a good job of not putting players in positions where they could, you know, hurt their arms or even, you know, get the sort of dead arm that you get this time of year. But the longer they go without getting a fourth and fifth starter in there, the harder it's going to be for this bullpen to maintain it all the way through the end of the year. The playoffs themselves, I wouldn't worry about all that much because, you know, they do some really crazy things in the playoffs where you just give a starter, you give Desclafani in the opening game, you just give Desclafani the last three innings and let him go out there to save the bullpen and things like that. But they still have 22 games left, and they're facing a couple of teams. I mean, the Braves, they're facing the Padres. a bunch of times. They have a lot against the Padres left, and these are these are teams that take that see a lot of pitches. They're not, they don't get themselves out, so I mean you're gonna have the bullpen throwing a lot of pitches, and I guess Webb is going to start the series finale in Chicago, and then I guess they'll have to have a bullpen game in the Monday opener at home against the Padres. And the word is that Kazmir is going to go, and I don't know how good Kazmir can be, but the key is if they could get three or four, if he's the guy, if they could get three or four innings out of him, so they don't have to have another game right away, after Friday's game where they go, two innings for Leon and an inning and a third for Garcia and so on and so forth.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they go down the stretch here. Henry Schulman joins us. Always great to talk ball with Henry. So, Weber, Gausman, who do you start? They're going to be in the playoffs. We know that. Either they win the division or they could be in a wild card game against pick five teams that could make it. So you get that one game to start. And let's say it's division series or it's the wild card game. Who gets the start, Weber, Gausman?
I think you have to go with Webb, and I think that times have changed. I think that, if Dusty were manager, or even in the old days of Bruce Bochy, you always go with the veteran guy, the guy who's been there, so he doesn't he won't wet his pants like a young kid might. But, I mean, I don't think Webb – when you look at Webb on the mound, I don't think being in a one-game playoff would faze him. And he's a better pitcher right now than Gausman. I don't think it's – it's getting closer. Gausman had a decent start last time out. But I really don't think it's all that close to who the ace of the staff is. And I really don't care how old he is right now. I think Bumgarner sort of set the stage in 2012. I think in 2012 he was already a veteran 2014. He was already a veteran of two World Series championships, but he was still only about 25 years old, and they gave him the ball for the one game in Pittsburgh, and he pitched a shutout. They gave him the one game in New York 2 years later. He pitched another shutout. I would go with Webb, and I think that – but the problem is they really need to make a push to win the division. You have to win the division and not play the one and done, and I think they're lining up Webb so he could pitch the last game of the season. He may not be available – or Gausman might not be available to pitch that final game or that wild card game if that's what the Giants fall into, because I think they're setting it up based on the decisions they made this weekend to have Gausman and Webb go Saturday and Sunday that end the season.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think the Giants are going to win going away. I really do. I think they're going to win 103, 4, 5 games, and the Dodgers are going to fall back 5-6 games. But we'll see. And if you had to pick a pitcher, I'm going to take Gausman. I would go with the guy who looks like he would be maybe Webb would be calmer, but I think I'd go with the veteran. But we'll see. Look, it's good to have decisions like that. Brandon Belt, Henry, in Wrigley Field on Friday. He came out wearing a C on his shirt, and he's the self-anointed captain of the team now. The team needed something light to happen as they go down the stretch, and Belt kind of provided it. But more importantly, a double, a home run, two walks. He got the double, and then Wade blooped the single to tie the score 1-1, and then the Giants broke it open. How important is Brandon Belt, Henry? And is there a chance they could re-sign him? Because they've got Crawford locked up. Posey, we know that they're going to get done. What about Belt?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, there's always that segment of the fan base that would just be happy to see him go. He gets into bad streaks now and again, and he's been injured a lot, but they don't really have a first baseman coming down the pike unless they, mm-hmm. Wanted to make Lamont Wade and Darren Ruff an everyday first base tandem, I guess you would call it, or platoon. I don't talk to Zaidi now, but I read where he said that he said on this station that he is talking to all of the veterans to some degree about an extension, and I don't think it would be a long one. It would probably be a year and an option. You don't want to get into a situation where you have a bunch of 37-year-old players on the diamond, but I mean, he's worth it for his defense alone, for one thing. the plays he makes at first base, and also the comic relief. He's worth it for the comic relief. But more than anything else, he sees pitches more than anybody on the team. They become a team that sees more pitches than most of the other teams in the majors. And they also, I think they lead the majors or co-lead, or they're in the top five in whiff rate. So they don't swing and miss a lot at pitches outside of the zone. And Belt is really kind of the leader of that pack. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need now to sort of overcome the way pitching is done now, where you just have a starter come in for four or five innings, six innings maybe, and then you run through a cycle of relievers who throw really hard. The key is to get the best guys out of the game as quickly as possible, be they the starters or the relievers on the other team. And, you know, Belt, how many 3-2 counts? I mean, I'd have to look it up, but how many 3-2 counts has that guy had? And he's going to take the occasional third strike on a borderline pitch, because his thing is not to protect. His thing is to, you know, to swing at pitches he can hit and take walks. And I think that's very valuable on the team. And I mean, Crawford's already locked in. I think Posey may surprise people. I don't know if he even is going to want to play next year, to be honest. He was very circumspect when asked about extension or having his option picked up, and said something on the order of, well, I'm going to have to sit down and talk to my wife. And you know, this guy has taken so many shots to the head over the years. Mm-hmm. I worry about his ability to play with his children and you know, be sort of a normal human being later in life. And, you know, especially if they go far into the playoffs this year, I wouldn't be stunned if he just decided, okay, you know what, that's enough.
Boy, good insight. I hadn't thought about that with Posey, but sure, that can happen. And I'm with Jan Belt in that number two spot in the order. When he gets his walk in the first inning, it's 20 pitches for the other starter, and it just happens all the time. I would resign Belt without a doubt. I would absolutely do it. Henry Schulman with us. Henry, it is 9/11. Of course, today, and it's Giants-Cubs, but more importantly, it is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Where were you when that happened? Were you down in Houston with the ball club?
Yeah, I was at an Embassy Suites. It's funny, that was the one time I didn't stay near where the team stayed, because I think I got a cheaper rate for my company. I was way out in the outskirts, and I got a call from Gwen Knapp, who was our columnist at the Chronicle at the time, and she told me to turn on the TV set. Of course, I saw the horrors along with everybody else. And basically, I just spent the next 3 days hanging around the team hotel in the Galleria there on Westheimer in Houston, you know, just trying to waiting for players to come into the lobby to talk to them about things that were going on. And on the first day, of course, we learned that I believe it was Rich Realia, whose family could look out their window, whose parents could look out their window and see the towers burning, and Dunstan, whose folks were nearby. And then not knowing, I mean, oddly enough, we didn't know initially that there wouldn't be any baseball played in Houston that series. We assumed there would not be a game that day because there was no movement toward it. But we didn't know until the commissioner finally came on and said, you know, a week would be the optimal time. And then it just became trying to figure out how to get out of Houston with no airplanes in the sky. It was just a very surreal time, especially there were a million media there for the series, because Bonds was in the midst of his home run chase to beat McGuire's single season record. So, I mean, you know, we took comfort in each other. We, you know, we all went out after the work day on 9/11. There were fortunately a couple of places that were open where you could get an adult beverage and, you know, talk through our feelings and all that. And it was really just a lot of boredom after that, just sort of waiting to see what was going to happen with the Giants in baseball. And also be honest, the fear that another shoe was going to drop and that the terrorists weren't done and something else was going to happen.
Mm. Boy, amazing. An amazing time where everyone who was sort of an adult at that point or old enough to understand it will never forget 9/11, and we remember it the 20th anniversary today. Henry, great to have you on as always. We're going to do this again as we go another couple of weeks, but my opinion is we're in the sprint. The marathon is really done, and the veterans have taken over. Longoria looks like he's hitting again. Brian, as you said, maybe the wrist is bothering him. Belt is doing well. Crawford's doing well. Posey's slowed down. But I think we're in the sprint to the finish. I really do.
Yeah, it's you can say that now. Now it's just a matter of the final kick.
Yeah, that's it. And the veterans have got to do it. Henry, thank you so much for getting up early. We've got Gausman today and Zach Davies and Giants baseball. Henry Shulman, thanks so much.
All right, you got it, Marty.
All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.